I'm Ryan Burrow, and welcome to Quest for Gold. We're now 294 days away from the opening ceremonies in Paris, taking a look at what's going on this week around the globe at the Worlds in Brussels. The U.S. men's gymnastics team got a team medal for the first time since 2014, winning bronze. Fred Richard became only the fourth U.S. man to win an all-around medal at the Artistic World Championships. He took bronze as well. The last American man to get an overall medal was Paul Hamm back in 2003. Meanwhile, the women, for the seventh straight time, have won gold in the team competition. Simone Biles did what Simone Biles does, landing a double pike during the qualifying stage. It's now named the Biles 2, the fifth overall skill named after her. NBA MVP Joel Embiid wants to play for U.S. basketball in Paris next summer. He reportedly contacted managing director Grant Hill Thursday. The team won't be named until the spring, but the 76er will likely be able to secure one of the 12 roster positions. LeBron James and Steph Curry have also hinted they're interested in playing. FIFA announced this week a unique 2030 World Cup that will be held on three continents. The Spain-Portugal bid added Morocco, which is in Africa. Games will also be played in Argentina, Paraguay, and Uruguay. Uruguay hosted the first ever World Cup final in 1930. That's where the tournament will open up. Our breakdancing friend Victor Montalvo is Paris-bound. B-boy Victor took home gold in the World Championships. This will be the first time breaking is an Olympic sport. We talked to Victor way back in February of 2021. Hopefully we'll get a chance to chat with him again before Paris. A bed bug infestation is being reported in Paris 10 months ahead of the 2024 games. The French minister says there's no reason for the general public to panic. The City of Lights is not invaded by bed bugs. A new study shows 1 in 10 households across France has reported a bed bug infestation over the last 5 years. The report says the presence of bed bugs does not indicate a lack of cleanliness, and the upsurge in recent years has been due in large part to the rise in travel. This week in Chicago is the Chicago Marathon, and for Tokyo bronze medalist Molly Seidel, another opportunity to hone her skills headed to Paris. Had a chance to speak with the Wisconsin native. She had just wrapped up an iron infusion at her training facility in Flagstaff, Arizona.
It's good to talk to you. I've been looking forward to this. I wanted to reach out to you at some point. When I saw that you were running the Chicago Marathon, I thought now would be a good time to do that.
Thank you so much for getting in touch with my agent. It's like, I'm getting so excited as we get really close. And like, I keep forgetting that it's like, oh yeah, this is like the time for press stuff now.
What is an iron infusion? What do you have to do?
So basically this summer I found out that I was like crazy anemic. Training had been like going really badly. I raced terribly in Boston and I was like convinced. I was like, maybe I'm just done. Maybe you hit 29 and you're just terrible at running. And then I got my ferritin tested and it was like critically low. And so the Team USA doctors were like, this is like so low that you have to go in and get, basically it's like a saline bag, like a small saline bag that has like concentrated like iron in it to be able to get your ferritin levels up. So I was able to like be not anemic anymore. And this is the final round that I've got. So I think this is like my fourth infusion, third or fourth.
It's been helpful.
Oh my gosh. Like incredibly helpful. It was just such an immediate difference too. Like I think my ferritin is at like 90 right now. It had been at 9 before, and like critically low is anything under 20.
Okay. Interesting. And is that because of, is that like a diet thing? I mean, is that, do you have to change your result of this?
So I have a lot of trouble like absorbing iron through like iron pills. And then when you live at altitude up here, it's really easy to become anemic. Like the whole idea is like living at altitude, you want to raise your amount of red blood cells. And it, just because your body is producing a lot and distance running itself breaks down red blood cells, basically, if you don't stay on top of taking iron very consistently, it's really easy to get anemic. And then we just found out that I've got a certain enzyme in my stomach that makes it like very, very difficult to absorb it. So like if I hadn't gotten the infusions, it would have probably taken the better part of like 8 to 9 months to get my iron back up. Whereas like if I do the infusions, I can get them up in a month.
There's no issues with WADA or anything like that as far as...
No. So it as long as all the infusions, and so it's like I have Team USA like manage all my stuff to make sure that everything is like above board. And so any injection has to be under 100 milliliters at a time. But yeah, everything is like good there with anti-doping. So it's like with stuff like that, you always have to be like super on it.
Are you getting tested a lot? I've talked to some athletes and the stories are funny, you know, not... Yeah. I don't know. Do you have any kind of fun stories like that?
Yeah, actually, like a funny one is right when my boyfriend and I started dating, because he lived up in Salt Lake, he would send me these packages. And so USADA was at my house testing me when one of these packages came, and I open it up and it's just filled with like dozens of, like, you know, those tiny hands,
Yeah.
like those little joke hands. They just come pouring out, and I'm pretty sure that like the USADA lady thought it was like a serial killer like sending me stuff. I'm like, no, don't worry, it's cute, it's this guy that I'm dating. And she definitely said at some point, she was like, he's either gonna kill you or marry you.
Exactly. So you're in Arizona now, right? You live in Arizona. Is
I
that just
am.
best place to train? Is that the best place to kind of be for you and where you're at and what you're trying to
Yeah.
accomplish?
So I started coming out to Flagstaff in like kind of like right around the end of like college or whatnot, and starting spending a lot more time out here. And then even the whole time I lived in Boston, I spent about half the year out in Flagstaff. So it's been kind of like it had been like a partial home for a number of years. And then during the pandemic, and once I made the Olympic team, it just made a lot more sense to like fully transition out here. Like my coach is out here now, a lot of our friends are out here. Like I've got a house. It's just I personally love it. It's fantastic training out here. We've got a really good community. So yeah, it was tough leaving Boston, but I love Flagstaff.
Well, we go back to 2021. I have to tell you, there are like three things that stick out to me about the Olympics. Obviously, Simone Biles pulling out. I remember all the weird stuff about COVID and like how the athletes could only be on certain buses at certain time and move around. And you telling your family, "I'm so tired, please drink a beer for me." I cannot get that out of my head. It was one of those moments because it was so genuine and so great. And I don't know if you're embarrassed by that now, if you revel in it. I don't know if you've gone back and watched it at all.
It's actually something that, like, at the time, I think, like, afterwards, I was just like, oh my God, I sounded so dumb. I should have said something more inspiring. But, like, and now looking back, like, I think I more fully appreciate it just from like realizing like it was really hard not getting to have my family there. Like when the day that I found out that like it was like I really couldn't bring anyone to the Olympics, it was just going to be me and my coach. Like it was really sad not getting to share that with my family. And so the fact that I got there, like I finished, and then somebody throws a phone in my face with my family like live on it, and they were all like inexplicably wet because it had been like just like absolutely like downpour storming on them. And I just like was so emotional at that time that was like just the first thing that came out. It was just like the sheer shock and like happiness of getting to see them, but also the sadness that they couldn't like be there with me. And then just knowing that we were going to like absolutely go insane the minute I got back to Wisconsin.
Sure. Well, what has life been like since that moment? I'm sure. I mean, obviously, I'm sure sponsors came calling. You've done probably 50 times more interviews than you did prior to it. I mean, what's life post
Yeah,
Tokyo been like?
it's been a really interesting last 2 years, just in the sense that like it was so crazy after the Olympics, and there was so much just like so much press, so much more attention in a way that I never could have imagined, and I think is like just really cool to reflect on. But I had to sort through a lot of like personal stuff going after that. I ended up like really spending the last year like focusing like hardcore on my mental health, just because it had been a pretty like difficult time of just like things that I was going through. So I haven't really raced a marathon. Like this will be the first marathon that I've raced in the better part of a year or so. And yeah, just trying to take a bit of a different approach, a little bit more grown up of an approach to it. So I feel like since Tokyo, I've done a lot of growing up and a lot of like kind of just figuring out like who I am, why I want to be in this sport, and coming at it from, I don't know, kind of using a little bit of just a different approach than I've used in the past.
I talk to a lot of athletes, and there's always kind of that rookie first interview, like, "Oh, I'm just trying to get to the games." And then after someone's been to the games, it's, "I'm trying to do better. I'm trying to accomplish something different." So it's always like that next level, especially with the second time around. Are you training differently than you did pre?
I think a big thing for me is like I experienced a lot of success at the Olympics and right afterwards at the New York City Marathon, but I was dealing with a relapse in my eating disorder, and just like the life that I was living was not it wasn't a sustainable kind of thing. And I think it was realizing like, man, like if I don't figure this out and if I don't take this really seriously, one, I won't have the longevity in this sport that I really want. And then two, I can't improve anywhere past this. Like the way that I'm doing things right now, like this is the best it's ever going to get. And I think being able to really take a full year, just like stepping back and focusing on like doing things right and doing things in a much healthier way and a more sustainable way, is realizing like, yeah, it's really hard and it's scary sometimes taking that time, but also realizing it's like, yeah, I know that I can do better than that. And I know that I can be a better athlete than that. And I was never going to reach that doing things the way that I was doing it. So it's like, yeah, sometimes you have to take a little bit of risk and risk doing things like you haven't ever done them before, but that's where the improvement comes.
I like the kind of the brain development that's going on with body development too. We've noticed, like, I just talked to some beach volleyball players and they all have team psychs. Like they meet together and they have psychologists who they meet and they talk to about goals, and you know, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, is that pretty much any Olympian now kind of needs that? They need not only the training, but they need the mental help as well.
Honestly, I think that's where the biggest improvements are going to come, especially over like the next like 5 to 10 years. I think the 2020 Olympics was a watershed moment for mental health in sports. Looking at Simone Biles, looking at Naomi Osaka, and like some of these big name sports stars that are really like speaking up, being like, hey, I deal with this, I work on this. And I personally, just seeing the improvements that I have gotten from working with like traditional therapy and sports psychology, in just being able to train your brain on how it's going to react when you're in those really critical moments of a race, I think that that is just as important as the physical conditioning.
Where does your brain go when you're running? I've never marathoned. I've done super hard charity 5Ks, but like, mm-hmm. Seriously, where does your brain go? Do you sometimes go miles and realize what am I doing? Where have I been the last 10 minutes?
A little bit, but it's in a different way than that. Like I equate it to, like, I'm a big F1 fan. And so I equate it to almost like operating an F1 car of like, you're constantly doing checks of like, think of it like check the speedometer, check the brakes. Like, do I need to go in for a pit stop? Like that, your brain is constantly going through these like different things of like, how is my stride working? When is the next bottle station? When, like all of these things that you need to be doing and staying very engaged in what the race is. But then also a huge part of it is managing the negative self-talk, like more so than people would think. Like in these top level marathons, a lot of times I'm having to really focus and work through some of those rough patches, because there are times where it's really, really tough. And there are times where you think, man, like it would be so much easier if I just stopped right now. And it's being able to get yourself through those rough patches and stay engaged and stay focused so that once that rough patch does pass, you can get right back in it.
What is the cue for you? What is the thing that you lean on when you're struggling and you think about it? Is it upcoming games? Is it family? What is it?
A lot of times it's being early in a race and thinking, man, like I have to keep going at this pace for another 20 miles. I don't know how I'm going to do this. Or like, I don't know how I can keep going. And a lot of times it's almost just holding off those thoughts long enough to be able to get through that patch. Or a lot of times I'll be a little bit hard on myself and literally just tell myself like, you're fine. Stop being dramatic. You're absolutely fine.
Yeah. So the team sports are interesting because they're trying to like mesh as a team together before a big event. So you're obviously mm-hmm. running as an individual. Like mm-hmm. are there moments that you're trying to peak at right now? What are kind of some of your goals over the next several months, is things you're trying to accomplish and how you're trying to go about doing them?
Yeah. So our Olympic trials are next February. So February 3rd in Atlanta, or not Atlanta, sorry, that was the last one, in Orlando, Florida. So for me, the Chicago Marathon, even though this is obviously a major race, it's a huge event. This is a stepping stone for me for the trials, because I love championship style racing. I feel like that's much more my vibe than some of these like super fast flat marathons like Chicago is. And so Chicago for me is kind of this like, get back into the swing of things, try and go out, have a really good experience, build that strength so I can step to the line at trials feeling as ready as possible to go out and try and get top three and make that team.
You can't just run every single day and expect the same results.
Ooh. No, exactly. It's like we have a very specific like set schedule. I'm doing some days are extremely hard. Like tomorrow, we're gonna have a workout day. It's gonna be going to the well. I'll probably be hating myself every step of the way. But then a day like today, it's easy mileage. I'm getting to meet up with friends. I go and do like a weight session. So it really is trying to find the right balance of things. Like we're not going super hard every single day. We choose our days to really go all out, and then in between, it's recovering, it's resting, it's getting an easy mileage, and preparing ourselves for those next hard sessions.
Because you want to push yourself. You want to take it easy on your body. You don't want to run yourself into the ground. But on the other hand, too, you need to push yourself to advance and develop further, I guess.
Yeah, and I think that's where like that's the real like magic of training, that people say that it's not the like you don't improve in the workouts, you improve during the recovery periods. Because if you think about it, these workouts, you're breaking yourself down so much, and the muscle repair is going on when you're sleeping, when you're resting. And so it's being able to find that right balance of like, okay, I want to push hard enough that I'm finding those improvements, but I need to have the recovery time to actually let those improvements like take root.
Are you learning in your body too the difference between an owie and an injury, like what you can push
For
through and
sure.
what you need to take a break from?
I've dealt with enough injuries in my career at this point that I hope that I'm learning. And I feel like I'm learning to find that line a lot better. And also realizing too, like I had this really bad tendency to just want to drive myself into the ground with training and just keep going, keep pushing. And so that's where my coach, John, who's a former training partner of mine, who then became my coach before the 2020 Olympic trials, he is so good with being able to hold me back and to like give me that reality check that I need, that like I'm not talented enough to be able to just be running balls out every single day, that I need to be able to take that time, and that when I am experiencing an injury, he's figuring out ways that like we can get through it, we can work on it, what can we add in strength wise to prevent this from happening again. So I look at so much of what I do as like a team aspect, that it's me, but then it's also everyone around me who's helping support me do this.
Do you get a lot of time in these marathons to look around? Like you're going to be running Chicago. I think it's your first time running Chicago. Do you
Yes.
are you looking up at the buildings, listening to the people, or are you just like tunnel vision?
Yeah, no, a lot of the times it like I am very aware of like what's going on around me. I think that was the coolest part of like running the New York City Marathon, because it was the first marathon that I ran after the pandemic. So like actually having people around. And I think that's what make major marathons really special, like Chicago, is the people coming out, the energy that you get. Like if I feel like if I just had tunnel vision and wasn't like paying attention, like you could go run anywhere. But it's like I love majors because of that energy and like the people cheering. I love when people have like great signs or whatnot. It makes it a lot easier to handle the 26.2 miles.
And Chicago's not too far from home. You've probably been through Chicago quite a bit through
Oh
your life.
yeah. Oh yeah. I regret having to drive there every time I go down.
So what are your next steps then? You've got Chicago Marathon, what, and then you've got trials coming up.
Yeah, so Chicago Marathon, we'll do a couple smaller races in there, just to try and like work on some speed aspects, work on fueling. But yeah, mostly just training between Chicago and the trials, and then we'll see from there.
All right. I've been following you on social media. You're hilarious. You're really
Thanks.
good. What was you got to tell me what's up with the dumpster photos? What was is that just kind of like a
Oh,
thing?
my sister and I, we started a meme account called Sad Girl Track Club.
Okay.
That is all focused on raccoons and like demotivational sayings. And so, yeah, basically the trash cans is there's no trash cannot, there's only trash can.
Very good. Very good. And you had an interesting experience with some lost luggage I saw recently.
Oh my God. I am convinced that someone at the Boston airport like has it out for me at this point, because it's every time I go through Boston, something happens.
But you're smart because you brought your equipment with you and your carry-on. I talked to figure skaters and I say, where do the skates go? You know, I mean, are you allowed to bring the blades on the plane? And they're like, actually, yes. And we have to
Oh, really?
because if we don't, you know, and it gets sent off to who knows where, I'm in trouble.
And because that's the thing is like from like racing track and cross country in college, that's what you're always taught. Always bring your uniform and your shoes and your carry-on or your backpack. And I've had my luggage lost enough times at this point, especially when traveling internationally. Like I don't mess around with that. You can always buy new shorts and whatnot, but yeah, the uniforms and the shoes are much harder to come by.
Do you get any downtime now leading up to the Olympics? Is there a, like a week or a month or something like that where you can just let loose?
Yeah, so actually the week after Chicago, just because like I needed to let my body repair a bit after after a marathon like that. So I'm actually going to go back up to Wisconsin with my boyfriend and we're going to stay at my parents' place and just like spend the week up there. Like I love fall in the Midwest. And so it's just like getting to take my downtime, just like go to some corn mazes, drink some good beer, like get Matt a ridiculously large pumpkin or something. Like I'm really looking forward to that.
A lot of people probably watched the Olympics and were inspired to run the marathon because of you. Do you have any tips for people who may be starting out or who may be, you know, thinking about doing the Chicago or probably training at this point, the Chicago Marathon?
Yeah, honestly, I feel like the biggest thing for me to get through like marathon training is like find a group of people that are doing the same thing and just lean on them. Like marathon training can be grueling. Like the mileage can be really, really hard. You're tired. And it is like just so helpful just having even one other person there. If you find someone else who's training for a marathon, someone else who in the neighborhood who runs, finding a local running group, like there is so much strength from just having like-minded people around you, even if it's just to be able to whine about how tired you are to them. Like it's always more fun with friends.
Who's your person?
My person is my training partner, Jessa Hansen. She's training for the trials with me as well. And I feel like she's been like my ride or die training partner lately. And yeah, it just, it makes it so much nicer just knowing that there's someone there in like embracing the suck with you. And like, yeah, really, really helps.
Do you think about Paris or is that too far ahead? You try to block that out. Is that?
No, I definitely think about it. It's the kind of thing where it's like, it's tough for us because like, you gotta like the US Olympic trials are so, so competitive. Like it's a nice thing knowing that if you make it through our trials, like you've got a pretty good shot at the actual Olympics because it's that tough. But I allow myself to dream sometimes, but then also like stay grounded in reality, stay grounded in like the present day-to-day moment and not get my head too stuck in the clouds.
Did you get a chance to do much when you were there? Did you get a chance to rub elbows with any of the athletes or were you guys pretty
at the Olympics?
Separate?
No. So we actually weren't even in the village. So they sent us up to our own little quarantine village up in Sapporo because our race was 500 miles north. So when we came back down, we got to see quite a few people, but so many people like had left because the rule was 2 days after your event finished up, you had to be gone. So it wasn't like the full cast of characters by the time that we got back in, but I got to see a lot of like the track people, which was really, really cool. Cause like USA track and field just like absolutely cleaned up at the Olympics. So, but yeah, I think that's part of the motivation to qualify for Paris as well as like the Tokyo Games were such a different experience being in the pandemic that it would be really cool to experience like the full deal.
And no matter what, anyone I interview, they say the coolest moment is when you get all your swag, you get all your Team USA, everything fits perfect.
Oh,
it's got your name on it.
It was so cool too, because we got all of our clothes beforehand going up to the Olympic trials in Eugene, Oregon. And so I got what I thought was all of my gear. It was our team, like USA track and field gear. And then you get there and in my little room, there's two huge duffel bags just filled with everything. And it's like, I had like, four giant bags that I had to like somehow get home from Tokyo, but it was so cool. There's nothing quite like it. I took so many like dumb selfies in my hotel room. I'm just like, look at all my stuff.
So you don't have to get too specific, but where's the medal? Where do you keep it? Is it in a sock drawer somewhere? Is it with your folks or? Mm-hmm.
No, so it used to be like kind of like hidden away in the kitchen. But now we actually have like a little, like a little like curio cabinet or like a hutch in the corner of the kitchen next to our dining table. And it's funny because we just put all of like the general medals up there. And my boyfriend does like ultra running. And so he's got one next to his like 50K like handmade like rock trophy. And it's like directly next to the medal there. So it's funny. So people always kind of do a double take when they see the cabinet.
So have you worn it around to like try to get free meals or anything like that? Can you do that? Just like...
The only time that I have like worn it around is coming back. I didn't even wear it, but I had it on me. So coming back from Tokyo and going through the Denver airport, because you have to wear all your Team USA gear when you travel. I was wearing all the Team USA gear, and everybody is so excited around that time. And they are like stopping me and asking me, like, did you get back from Tokyo? Like, how'd it go? And so I was literally like tossing my medal out to people, and people were like taking photos with it. And like, because that's honestly the most fun that I have with it, is seeing how excited people get with it. Or like, I'll do talks at like local high schools in flag, and everyone gets excited with an Olympic medal. And like, seeing kids get to like do their B reels with the medal on and whatnot, that's what makes it really fun. Cause I think of like how I would have reacted if I had been in high school and someone had let me hold their Olympic medal. Like, that's where it's fun, is getting to share it.
Where can we follow your journey? You have social media handles?
Yep, you can follow me at By Golly Molly on Instagram, and then I'm on YouTube, I think By Golly Molly as well. And that's it. I don't TikTok.
Is it because of the dancing, or you just haven't figured it out yet?
A little bit of the dancing is, and it's just like, I've got like very bad ADHD, and if I do TikTok, I will lose so much time on that thing. Like, I need to be able to just stay locked in.
We wish Molly good luck in this weekend's Chicago Marathon and on her journey, hopefully to Paris. Next week on Quest for Gold, we go back to Germany. We talk with leaders looking to put together a potential German Olympic bid for 2036. I'm Ryan Burr. We look forward to chatting with you then on Quest for Gold.